It's the High Cooking Corner on 101.9 High FM.
Good morning and welcome to the Cooking Corner. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's Wife, coming to you live on this, the second week of January. 20 High. That's right. 2018. 18 is high, so we call it 20 High. So, as people start trickling back into town and start covering school books and buying school uniforms and preparing to start work again, I decided that this would be a good time to share some lunchbox ideas. Of course, you know, we've also started off the new year with new year resolutions. The most popular, of course, being in January, I'll start my diet. I'm on holiday now. I'm going to relax and enjoy. And, you know, the most popular thing, I think, is just to be fit. Let's get back to gym. Let's keep healthy. And so who better than calling in somebody? I believe she's known as the Kosher Banting Lady. If you need to know anything about banting, this is the lady to contact. And her name is Natalie Joel of Josie Blue, who'll be sharing some tips with us, some recipes, some advice on banting. I mean, if it's not the blood diet, if it's not the paleo diet, if it's not Weight Watchers, if it's, then, I mean, it has to be banting. And a few of my family and friends have been banting and doing quite well. I can't quite get my head around it. To me, you know, cream is something that, and full cream milk has always been something fattening. I mean, I go straight to low fat or straight to skim milk or something like that. And to me, it's all about, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But I don't know. I've got to get into this banting. I've got to find out about it, because apparently they say once you start banting and once you get into it, it becomes a whole way of life. So later on, joining us will be Natalie Joel, and please God, she'll be here to answer your questions. Now, let me give you our new studio number, because you can phone in or you can SMS us. And the new studio number is 010-140-3020. That's right. So I hope you've got that. And also another number that you can contact us on is the High FM new on-air WhatsApp number, 061-895-1019. So stick that into your phone, and then whenever you need to WhatsApp us, you can do so straight away. Okay, for messages, you can SMS us. I'm still on 34519. Is that correct? Okay, that is correct, says Craig, who I always forget to thank. So I'm going to thank you now, Craig, at the beginning of the show for all that you do, our sound engineer, Craig. But before we go get chatting with Natalie, I just wanted to talk about a couple of school lunch ideas. Of course, one of my favorites has always been, as you know, wraps. And I find them just so easy and so different, and you can do, there's so many great ideas for wraps, and it's just something that the kids can hold in one hand and carry on playing soccer and still eat their wrap with the other hand. And nothing, of course, beats a cold meat and pickled cucumber wrap. Now, of course, you know, with wraps, you have to be careful. You can't put hard, crunchy things in it. You have to, what I do with my pickled cucumbers in with the cold meat wraps is I slice them with a potato peeler so that they're a lot easier to roll up in the wrap as well. Nice ideas for wraps are cottage cheese, cream cheese, put a little bit of fish paste in if you want to, some salmon spread, tuna mayonnaise. These are all lovely and different ideas for your wraps. And I think one wrap can actually last them for both breaks. What about chicken pops? I mean, you can go into any of the kosher butcheries around and you can get ready crumbed chicken pieces, which are also lovely, or even give the kids what's left over from the night before. If you're going to have a chicken braai, make sure that you add a couple of more chicken pieces to the braai and give them lovely cold braai chicken the next day. Or cold meats wrapped around pickled cucumbers is a popular one. Crudité, that's also great. Carrots, celery, peppers, cucumbers, cream cheese, all that kind of thing. We can stick it into boxes. You get wonderful school lunch boxes today. Or you can even use those tiny little sandwich packets, the Ziploc ones, or the, you know, you can go down to Homely's or down to the strip and you get those lovely little plastic containers. Remember, don't give your children salads with salad dressing on. Rather, pack it in a separate container. But before I give you another quick idea, we're off to an air break and I'll come back with some other school lunch ideas.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
So I will be back to the Cooking Corner. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and it is the first show of 20 Chai, and we are talking about school lunches or even hubby's lunches or children's that have just started working. Give them a, I know my kids all take, they call a school lunch to work. So we were talking about ideas for lunch boxes, and I came across something that I found quite interesting. It's called a frozen fruit cup. Now, in this boiling hot weather, I can think of nothing more delicious and soothing and cooling than this idea. You take a tin of fruit cocktail, but it must be the, you know, the chopped up fruit cocktail in its own juice, or the natural art one, I think that's the kosher one, and a tin of crushed pineapple and the juice together. So you want to keep the cocktail juice and you want to keep the pineapple juice, and 1 cup of fresh orange juice. Mix it all together in a bowl. You can add a little bit of mint if you want to, and stick it into, divide it into little plastic containers, small little containers. Stick them in the freezer and let the kids take them to school. Don't forget the teaspoon though. Let the kids take them to school, and by a small break or big break, they'll have melted and they are absolutely delicious. So that's a quick and easy thing to do. Of course, you can also do all the melons. We've got the beautiful melons at the moment. Cut those up, send it with a little bucket of yogurt or whatever. Don't forget the little snack bars. You can get wonderful new snack bars. I saw them at Dis-Chem. You can get nuts and put nuts and raisins in, popcorn. You can buy little packets of ready-made popcorn for the kids, or make it yourself and just divide them up into little plastic bags. And each day the kids can take, help themselves to some popcorn. Dried fruit, fresh fruit, all wonderful ideas for your lunch boxes, yogurt and applesauce. I know Pesach time you can get those little miniature applesauces, but if you can't find them, just get some applesauce, decant it into little containers, and take some yogurt and applesauce to school. Of course, pita chips or bagel chips and a little container of hummus, chicken kebabs. I mean, there's so many different things that one can work on, one can look at. Just go onto the internet. It is a, as my kids always say to me, Mom, when I ask them, how do I do X, Y, and Z? They go, Mom, your best friend is Google. And that's wonderful. It does. Tells me exactly what to do. But a quick chicken recipe that I want to share with you that I made over the holidays, which turned out to be an experiment that turned out to be very popular, was a salad, a curry chicken salad. Quite easy. All I did was I took chicken breasts, braaied them, and whatever was left over, I cut up into little strips. I added a sachet of Ina Parman curried sauce, a curry tikka sauce, and a small tin of the coconut milk, and fried that all up so it was lovely and warm, and then sort of set it aside to cool. And I served that on butter lettuce. Okay, and I served little portions of this curried tikka with some coriander sprinkled on top, and would you believe, some bananas. And I just sliced the bananas very, very thin. We actually wrapped up the lettuce leaves, the butter lettuce leaves, and it made a beautiful chicken wrap. So if you have any leftover chicken, there's what you can do with it. So, as I said, we are very lucky and privileged to have with us today a lady who is our banting professional, and her name is Natalie Joel, and I'm sure you will know her, all know her from Josie Blue, and she is here. Welcome, and welcome to our Cooking Corner, Natalie. It's wonderful to have you.
Thank you very much.
And so let's just start talking about banting, because apparently that is the way to go. I mean, I didn't know much about banting until my brother and then my daughter started banting, and, you know, I didn't know much about it except you can have cream, you can have butter, you can have all these things that... When growing up, I mean, it was just, oh, so fattening, and what makes you think you can have butter? So let's talk, firstly, before we get on to banting, a little bit about Natalie Joel. Welcome to the show, Natalie.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so how did it all start for you? Have you always been involved in cooking and baking, and then you, and coffee, and Josie Blue? What? How did you get there?
Okay, so what happened? I've always enjoyed cooking.
Right.
Five and a half years ago, my husband yes. and I went to visit one of my children's friends' coffee shop, Elaine de Asses Rosa. He's got a wonderful roastery and coffee shop in Bromfontein. Yes. And at that stage, you won't believe this, Howard and I were not drinking coffee. We were fanatical, not coffee drinkers. And we drank that, what is that thing that used to have instead of coffee? It wasn't chicory.
What, tea?
No.
Yes, I remember.
My parents used to drink it, and they brought it from Walmart, wasn't it?
Anyway,
so we used to have drink that. Yes. So we went to visit Elaine's coffee shop and roastery.
Yes.
And so, of course, we had tea because we didn't drink coffee. Elaine makes the most amazing teas as well. He mixes them himself.
Yes.
So we really enjoyed our experience there. And we walked out of there, and Howard turned around, and he looked at the shop, and he said to me, "What do you think about opening a coffee shop?" Just like that. So I looked at him, and I said, "Sounds like a nice idea." So he said, "Why don't you ask Shmuel if he'd like to run it with you?" At that time, I was working with him. He's a chartered accountant.
Yes, and Shmuel is your son-in-law.
Shmuel, my son-in-law.
Yes.
So I said to Shmuel, "We're thinking of opening a coffee shop. Would you like to join us?" And he also wasn't drinking coffee at that time. So he said, "Okay." So I said, "Well, the three of us know next to nothing on the other side about coffee." Yeah. So we thought, we can't just open it. This was in about May or June. So we spent the next 6 months. We went to Cape Town. All the coffee shops, we Googled top 10 coffee shops in Johannesburg. Yes. Funny enough, Josie Blue's now included in the top 10. And I'll tell you why. Because we went to top 10 in Johannesburg, Cape Town, Durban, all over.
Wow.
And they were the nicest people. We were up front. We came to the shops and we had a coffee and we said, "Look, we want to open a coffee shop in Johannesburg." And they gave us the best advice. Yes. They were amazing.
People are like
people
that.
People were
you know?
Incredible.
I know, just from writing the book, you know, you think to yourself, all these famous people, like, you know, and you write. The people are, when they're really and truly passionate about food, they just want to share.
Yeah, they were incredible. Yes. So the one shop, after suddenly my mind's gone crazy, one shop in Cape Town actually said to us, "Only get the Lamazoka because it's got a double kettle type thing inside, and when you're busy you can't say to the customers, 'Hang on 10 minutes, I've just got to wait for my kettle to boil.' You've got to have enough water available all the time." So we did. And also the best thing it said to us, could we also have a separate Chalav Yisrael machine.
Right.
So we ordered a 3-head for the main people and a 2-head group head for the Chalav Yisrael people. So the Chalav Yisrael had a separate thing, their own cups, disposable, the whole thing.
Yes.
So we took 6 months, and we people suggested we have so-and-so and this and the other, and finally we were ready to open, and it was fantastic. So when we decided to open, I don't know if you used to remember this program, Cheers.
Yes.
So I said, I want Josie Blue to be Cheers. I want everybody, I want it to be a second home, and I want everybody to know your name. Yeah. And I want people to feel it's their home, outside home. And Baruch Hashem, it was very successful. Everybody knows everybody who walks in.
Yes.
So you know straight away, you haven't been here before. Have you? How did you hear about us? And I said, how do you know? We say, oh, because we know all our customers. Because they all become our friends.
Yes.
You become the granny, you become the auntie. Everybody tells you their stories, everybody tells you their problems. And it's fantastic because you are there as their friend.
Right.
And they know they can come to you, and they know they can sit there with one coffee for 4 hours. No one's going to come and say to you, why are you only having one coffee?
Yeah.
So everybody is so happy there. And I loved it there. It was the best place. And then what happened was, 2.5 years ago, I became this mishugana of Banting. So I couldn't eat anything in the shop anymore. Yeah. And also before that, people come to me and said, you know, my child's gluten intolerant, I'm gluten intolerant. I was trying around different gluten intolerant recipes, gluten free.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't crazy about that. It didn't taste that nice. So I only did it for orders.
Right.
And then when I started making Banting stuff, people started coming from everywhere because of the gluten intolerance,
yes.
That chronic gluten. And also my daughter is anaphylactic with nuts. Josie Blue is a nut-free shop. So everything is, I can have people who got allergies can have dairy free if they've got allergies, because it's normally linked,
right.
And they can have regular, and it's all gluten free, sugar free, tasteful. And that's how it got started, and that's
we're going for a quick ad break, and then we're back with some more recipes and more Banting friendly ideas.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Hi, and welcome back to the Cooking Corner. I am Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and I have got Natalie Joel in front of me, and we are going to be talking Banting. So, Natalie, tell me how Banting started with you. What made you? Okay, you decided because of all the gluten-free products you were using, etc., etc. But who was there? A coach? Was there somebody who said you try Banting?
Yes, I'll tell you what happened. Since I've been married, it's 42 years now. I've been overweight. So for 40 out of 60 years, I've been overweight. And I've tried everything. I went to Weight Watchers. I went to Whaley. I don't even want to talk all the things. It just disgusts me talking how I tried. And then 2.5, it's actually 3 years ago now, I went to a dietitian.
Yes.
A dietitian. And she gave me the diet. And I was just starving all the time. So she said to me, try these pills. It'll help control your appetite and you'll be able to do it. So I was losing slowly and it wasn't working. So I went back to her and I said, I'm still starving. So she said, I can give you a stronger one. But you can only do it for 6 months. So I did it. And then at the end of about a month or so, I noticed that I'd go shopping. I'd keep into my whatever.
Yes.
The small portion. And I'd get to the car and I'd find when I was in the aisle, I'd taken a slab of Aero and a slab of Rolo and a slab of this. And I got home and all I had were the wrappings next to me. So I said, this is ridiculous. I'm now addicted to chocolate and I can't. I'm trying to stick to the diet, but I had this craving for chocolate. So I said to my children and my husband, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get hypnotized against cravings for chocolate, which I didn't realize at that stage that chocolate actually is, sugar is actually an addiction, which I didn't realize at that stage. So one of my children said to me, you can't go to just anybody. Leonard Carr is a psychologist and he has done hypnosis. So I managed to get an appointment with Leonard. It was only after Pesach. So I went to see him, and I told him all my issues and all my stories and the whole thing, and he sat there listening and nodding. And I said to him, yeah, so are you going to hypnotize me? So he says, I'm not going to hypnotize you. And I said, what? What do you mean you're not going to hypnotize me? He said, I think you should try Banting. So I said, Banting? But who knows the long-term effects? He said, rubbish. Just try. He said he was doing it at that stage, and it was doing amazing. He said, just try it for 6 weeks. And you'll see. I said, but I don't know what to do. I don't know the first thing about it. So he says, go and buy The Real Meal Revolution.
Ah, that's Tim Noakes.
Tim Noakes.
Yes.
go to Dis-Chem and buy coconut oil. I'd never heard of coconut oil. Coconut flour, and he told me a few other things. So I went to Dis-Chem. I got to the car and I phoned my husband and he said, how did it go? So I said, he won't hypnotize me. He said, I have to do, he said, I not have to. Suggested I try banting. Yeah. So he said, okay, I'll do it with you. So I'll tell you about him in a minute. So yeah. We got to Dis-Chem and there I was phoning the Beth Din, is this kosher, that kosher, that kosher? And got home and we started doing it. And 2.5 years later, in 6 weeks, we're still doing it. Wow. My husband is diabetic.
Yes.
When he had his first meeting, this was about 4 years ago, he was diagnosed as diabetic.
Yes.
The doctor we went to said to him, just lose a bit of weight and it's not a problem, the sugars are high. But I remembered his mother had diabetes and she had major issues. Right. So I said to him, we're going to go and sort this out. So we made an appointment at the diabetic center and the dietitian there said to him, just watch the carbs. All you got to do when you do anything is watch the carbs. That was the best thing she ever said. The low carbs. But she didn't explain banting anything. We didn't know. We didn't understand.
Right.
And he always said, what's a low carb? And he'd eat things that were low carb. That's how he started. And he lost a bit of weight. And his thing was, but then after a while, you think low carbs. You don't realize what it means. And you start eating everything else. Right. So we started this. And the thing is, you start reading this book and you think, what on earth is this going on? It says you're changing the world one meal at a time. And it is a revolution. Because when you start banting, you have to take everything, every single thing that you know about dieting and eating and throw it out the window. You have to take your mind and you have to turn it 180 degrees.
Yes. Well, that's what I'm saying. Cream. And
it is 180. Well, my father lived till 95 and I say he'd still be alive today if he hadn't smoked because he died from lung cancer. He had cream, he had butter, he had whiskey. He didn't eat all the other stuff.
Yes.
And he was fine. Just unfortunately, the smoking caught up with him. And other people of his generation, also, they all ate that, and they were all fine. So what we discovered, which we didn't realize before, is there's a thing called metabolic syndrome.
Uh-huh.
And if a person has got a tummy, and unfortunately most people nowadays have got a tummy,
yeah. It
means it's got metabolic syndrome. And what does metabolic syndrome mean? It means that if you can imagine a factory conveyor belt.
Yes.
On the conveyor belt, they've got to pack things. So the man standing there and he's packing this coin and that piece of material or whatever it is all along. And all of a sudden the machine goes wild and it just keeps throwing these pieces of machinery down to him and he can't pack it into the boxes. So he just throws them everywhere. And that's how our bodies are with sugar. And what's happened since the 1970s is that and sugars and carbs, what happens is carbohydrates turn into sugar in the body. Mm. Is that the body gets the sugar into the body and it carries along merrily. But now all of a sudden there's sugar in everything. And wheat has also had extra gluten, a lot of it. So everything is crazy.
Right.
So it comes into our body and goes to the pancreas and says, okay, I'll do this. It'll go to these parts of the body it needs. And all of a sudden the machine is turned on to high speed. Body doesn't know what to do with all this extra sugar. So where does it go? It goes around the tummy.
Uh-huh.
And the tummy can't handle it. I must just say, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical expert. Right. I've just follow a lot of very, very clever people who have done a lot of research.
Right.
Like Professor Tim Noakes, Sally Ann Creed, Dr. Asim Mahodra, and a lot of other people who are amazing. So what happens, unfortunately, is what is linked to the metabolic syndrome is heart disease. My blood pressure was extremely high. I was on two blood pressure pills. I'm now on none. No medicine at all. I was on Nexium. I was nothing, nothing. At my old age,
wow.
Nothing.
I just have to stop you here because I have to let the audience know that I'm looking at a person who has got so much energy. I'm looking at pictures, before and after pictures. I mean, Natalie, how much have you lost since you started?
Over 30 kilos.
Over 30 kilos. I mean, it's unbelievable all through banting.
Yeah.
And this and your skin looks so beautiful. It's just like you're just glowing.
Thank you.
So carry on talking because, guys, we've got to listen to this. The proof is in the pudding.
And I haven't eaten yet since last night. And I've been to gym. I went to a heavy Zumba session. I'm not hungry yet.
Wow.
That's part of this whole thing. So other problems with the metabolic syndrome is lipid, hypertension, as I mentioned, type 2 diabetes is this big thing. Dementia is called the third diabetes 3 because it's also linked to...
Well, they say that sugar is poison.
Yeah, I call it poison. Cancer, unfortunately. Cancer, I've been told, can only work if there's sugar in the body. So if a person doesn't have sugar, the cancer's got nothing to eat. Which is frightening. I've been reading so many articles lately about that.
Almost polycystic,
polycystic ovarian cyst syndrome.
Yeah.
People who've had this start following this way of eating. I don't call it a diet. It's a way of eating. It's forever. Yes. They've had children. They call them their PCOS children because they would never have had the children if they hadn't changed to cutting out the wheat and the carbs and the sugar and the seed oils. We'll get to, and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which is also a major problem today. And another is skin tags. I used to have tons of skin tags taken off every couple of years. Yes. And then about a few months ago, somebody put on one of my Facebook groups, who's noticed I don't have skin tags anymore? And then I realized, me. And then I looked it up, and skin tags is a sign of metabolic syndrome. Can you believe such a thing? So I'm skin tag free, medicine free.
Yeah.
I'm full of energy, full of the joys of spring. And that's
what it's all about. Okay. So now, you know.
Now you want to know what benting is?
I want to know exactly what benting is.
Okay.
And I just know that it's a low carbohydrate, high fat way of eating.
Okay. So, contrary to many people's opinion, Tim Noakes did not invent benting. He might have publicized it and brought it to the fore together with Sally Ann Creed.
Yes.
But he didn't make it. What happened was it's been going for many, many, many years. Yes. And in fact, before insulin was invented, this was the way of eating that was recommended for diabetes. To cure you, you can't cure it, but you can control. Once your pancreas is damaged, unfortunately, it's done. But you can control it, is to have this low-carb, healthy, I call it healthy fat, because we're all eating high fat. That is the wrong fats. It's low-carb, healthy fats. and also epilepsy. For a lot of children, the medication doesn't help. And they go on to this way of eating, and it helps them. And in fact, there's a lady, I've asked if I could mention her name. His name is Sharon Ross. She lives in England. Yes. She's an adult. She had severe episodes, and she couldn't work anymore. She said it was terrible for her children, her family. England actually has these centers where you can go and learn how to eat ketogenically, which is another word for low carb, which is even a lower low carb, and it controls the epilepsy. So she said I must just mention that her ketogenic diet is more strict in certain ways, slightly different to the regular one because of her issues that have to be tailor-made for each person. Right. If a person has got epilepsy or things like that, their doctor will obviously tailor-make their diet for them because everybody's different.
Right.
But for a person, a normal, average, overweight, fat person who's been trying for 100 years to lose weight, and I used to do 3 times a week boxing, cycling, spinning, swimming, and people would say to me, Natalie, you do so much exercise, why are you so fat? It was very hurtful, but people say that.
Yeah.
And the thing is that you cannot outrun a bad diet. And people try. They don't realize. They think they're eating their fruits and their muesli and their low-fat yogurt. But meanwhile, it's converting to sugar, and they're trying, but they can't lose. So what happened was, in the 1800s, there was a very overweight man called William Banting.
Yes.
He was an undertaker. He was a queen and all the fancy schmancy people. He was the guy to go to. The trouble was, he was getting fatter and fatter and fatter and fatter. And he used to row about 30 lengths on the river or the day, I don't know what
on
it was.
The Thames?
maybe it was the Thames. And he used to row and he used to exercise and he just used to come back starving and he used to eat more. And he was so fat that he had a hernia that he had to hold it in with bandages type things. He had a thing. Yes. And he couldn't tie his shoelaces. He couldn't bend down to tie his shoelaces. And when he used to go downstairs, he had to walk down backwards, holding on, puffing and panting. And then what happened when he was about 61, my age, which I don't think of as old, but he said he was getting old.
Yes.
And he started losing his hearing and his eyesight. And he went to a million doctors and nobody could help. So he went to Dr. William Harvey, who was an ENT. I didn't realize I had them in the 1800s, but
yes.
And he was fascinated with his hearing, and he was even more fascinated with his weight. And he told him to basically do the Banting diet. He was the Banting
man.
So he started doing it, and he couldn't believe it. He wasn't hungry anymore. He lost a ton of weight. He could walk downstairs. He could tie his shoelaces. He didn't need, he didn't have that hernia anymore. He was fine. And he lived till 81. And he actually wrote a book called The Letter of Corpulence. It's describing all the things. And it was so popular that he actually gave them away. And then he started selling them. And he, just like Tim Noakes, he took the money and he used it to help to make a home and to help people how to eat correctly. But he was vilified in those times. How can you tell people to eat all these healthy foods? You mustn't do it. But he did. He was very, very successful. And he was the first Banting. And what happened was low carb, high fat, as people call it, have been going for a very long time. But in South Africa, it was only publicized in the last, I'd say, 7-8 years that it's been pushed. But paleo, Atkins, all of those, they're all similar-ish.
Okay.
They all cut grains, they all cut sugar, and they all cut these seed oils.
More protein?
Not
more protein?
Protein is hand your palm size. There's no major protein. So what happens by eating this way of food? With carbohydrates, it gives you like a craving, and you've got to have more and more.
Right.
So what happens is we have a thing in the brain called a leptin. It's like a little hormone.
Right.
I didn't even know it existed because I was always hungry. So what happens is that your body starts getting back to normal, eating these good foods. And suddenly this thing in your brain starts saying, hey, I don't need more food. And it says, stop, you're hungry. You're not hungry anymore. So you can be eating the most delicious chicken that you were making just now. it's almost a Banting meal with the lettuce wrap and everything all delicious. And suddenly you say, I've got three more on my plate. I'm full. I can't eat anymore. And that's what happens. And then what happens is you're so full that you don't eat between meals.
Uh-huh.
And then what also happens is you're so full that you skip a meal. And you're fine. And look at me. I look like I'm ready to run another marathon. I just spent an hour at Zumba.
So energetic.
And I'm full of energy. And my last meal was last night when I had supper. So
now you'll go home and you'll have breakfast.
I'm not going to break. No, I'm going to have lunch at 1. But meanwhile, I'm going to go home and do gardening with my grandchildren.
Okay, so now would you, I mean, I know some people have said to me, you know what, you actually only need 2 meals a day on this Banting diet.
Some people do. Some people still need the 3 meals.
Yeah.
So the mantra is eat when you're hungry, stop when you're full. And if you're not hungry, you don't eat. So if I'm not hungry and my husband's hungry, I'll have a cup of coffee and I'll sit down, or water, and I'll sit, or vice versa.
Right.
There's no pressure. You don't feel you have to eat.
Very interesting, you know, and you not having to weigh your food. I mean,
you get used to it. You get used to the sizes,
protein sizes,
protein.
But a lot of people have said, you know, you go on this Banting diet, you eat what you want because you think that you can. Okay, are the portions controlled? Is there a control, or how does that work?
It's up to you. The thing is, there's three lists. There's a green list, an orange
list,
and a red list.
The green list
is eat whatever you want, however much you want, up to a point, because you can't have 10 chickens.
Right.
Orange list is occasionally, and red list is big capital N, capital O, 100 times.
Okay.
Okay, so the green, so what happens is that vegetables, so we have carbs, we do have, it's not a no-carb diet, it's a low-carb diet.
Right.
And the low carbs are from the vegetables we eat.
Uh-huh.
Everything has carbs excepting protein and fat. So anything that's above the ground, like green pepper, tomato, cucumber, lettuce, kale, broccoli, cabbage, all vegetables like that, you can have as much as you want. And it's about 2 cups a day would be a good average. And then protein, as I say, is a handful. Dairy is a bit of a yes-no type situation, because men have got the best ways. They can eat, you can eat the same meals and they will lose 10 times more than you and 20 times faster. That's life. Yeah. It's quite accepted. So men can have dairy coming out of the ears and it won't affect them. Women often I wouldn't say intolerant, but their bodies love the dairy so much that they hold on, I don't let it go.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to quickly go to an ad break and then we're coming back.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Welcome back to the show. It's a Cooking Corner. I'm Sharon Lurie, and I'm chatting to Natalie Joel, and we are talking banting. And boy, I'm getting so excited because, Natalie, I have to lose 10 kilos before March. Okay. You think I can do it? I've got to, please God, my son's wedding coming up.
Oh, wonderful. That's
cool. So I've just been a little bit happy over the last month or two from my daughter's wedding. And so I need to lose a little bit of weight. Do you think I can lose it quickly, or is it a slow process, this banting diet?
For me, it was slow, but for some people, it's fast. I think because I've been on so many diets in the last 40 years that my body's a bit messed up. That right. It doesn't want to lose as fast. But some people lose very fast. And it's also a good way of getting rid of any issues like headaches or things that people can have that just like, I won't call it detox because it's not.
Yes.
But it's just a different way of eating that people found very comfortable.
Right.
So if you're interested, with pleasure. Put you onto the right.
Do you have a coach? Is there a support group? Can people go and speak to people? You know, they have with Weight Watchers or with some of those groups. Now you can go and chat to somebody.
Well, I am a banting coach.
Oh, are you?
But
okay.
Actually, I don't know if you know, I sold Josie Blue a couple of months ago.
Yes, tell us a little bit about that. So now it's amalgamated, I believe, with Moose. Is that correct?
Yeah, what happened was over the years, a lot of people have approached Schmuller Meat to buy in to Josie Blue, and we just decided it was never right. And then about July, August, I was speaking to Sandy about something. And I must tell you, also, as with the coffee shops,
yes.
as I used to go and speak to, all the restaurants, 99% of us, we all get on very well.
Yes.
We all want to make a living, and we all like Beautiful. Each other, and we all go and eat in each other's places.
Yes.
So I was asking him about maybe buying certain products from him. And when I left him, he said to me, "What do you think of us investing in Josie Blue?" So I thought, you know, I really like the way they run their businesses. You think about it. And I went home and I said to my husband, you know, Moose says they'd like to buy into us, but I wouldn't mind retiring. What do you think of that? So he says, go for it. So I spoke to Shmuel and we went and we met them and we said, what do you think of buying me out? Because Shmuel's still a partner.
Yes.
And they said, okay. And that's a couple of weeks later. I was
out of Moose, and now you're banting and coaching. I think it's wonderful.
So I'm actually loving my free time. I'm helping my husband at his office a bit. They moved recently and I organized the move.
Yes.
And I'm in charge of a few admin things at the office. But basically, I'm having a ball. It's great.
Fantastic.
Got a gym virtually every day.
Gardening it.
Lady of pleasure.
It's lovely.
So I'm not really coaching anymore. But there are the most incredible Facebook groups.
Yes.
And
I saw that.
Unbelievable. They are so helpful. And there also are people to contact. There's Merle Westcott. There's Sally Ann Creed. They are incredible. They do coaching.
Yes.
And there is a ketogenic dietitian. Her name is Aza Matara. She's in Benoni.
Yes.
And she can give you, if you want to go to a dietitian, she can give you a diet that is probably banting. And she doesn't say you, but you, how can you not have this and how can you not? She knows exactly what she's talking about. I actually met her when I went to Tim Noakes's book launch for his latest book, Law of Nutrition. And she said that she was so impressed with this way of eating that she changed her practice to only ketogenic dietitian. Yeah, so there are people who are there to help
out
people
there.
Do want. But otherwise, you can buy the books or join the Facebook group. I've got a Facebook group myself, Kosher Banting for Success.
Ah, Kosher Banting for Success.
And it's people are so helpful. They just want to help other people. They've seen how successful it's been with them.
Yes.
There have been so many people. Their stories are incredible. There's Janita Hearn, who has a wonderful, wonderful Facebook group. Her husband was having biventricular heart failure, and her back knees were giving in, and her daughters were teenagers. They were all extremely overweight. And then in 2014, they were both over 200 kilos. Just one was under, one was over, and they decided that's it, and they're going to start. You cannot believe how incredible they now look. She's lost a fortune. They both lost a fortune of weight. Sam is off his BP medicines. His heart condition, although irreversible, is stable. And he's been taken off one of his heart medicines. And they've all got a new lease on life. And they all got better health. And in fact, one of her daughters just finished matric with 4 distinctions. Oh. And they're doing amazing. And she runs a fantastic Facebook group as well.
Wonderful. And that's what we can do. Now, let's discuss some menus. Now, in front of me, everybody, I have Banting. Now, these
Which
are...
One is that?
This is
Those the are butter blondies.
Butter blondies, right. And this is...
That is a keto roll.
Right, keto roll. And these are...
Those are
muffins.
Okay.
So which recipe would you like to share with us? I think the rolls, they look delicious. They really do. Looks like a regular, lovely,
it is
light, puffy roll. Now, I had some people staying with me out from Israel. They came out here, unfortunately, for not such a happy event, but then later a sad event. I mean, a happier event. And they were staying with me, and they brought with them, because they also banting, and they apparently have lost a fortune of weight on this banting, and they brought their little banting rolls with them all the way from Israel in their Tupperware. So let's share that recipe for the banting bread.
Okay, so this one has got almond flour.
Right.
Most recipes I make I don't use almond flour, because, as I said, one of my daughters is so anaphylactic that
yes,
it's terrible. Right. So if you ever do substitute coconut flour for almond flour, it's very important to know, which I didn't know the first time I made it, is you've got to cut it by a third. So if it's 2 cups of any other flour, you make it 2/3 of a cup of coconut flour. If it's 1 cup of almond flour, you make it 1/3 cup of coconut flour. And it's a very absorbent flour. So sometimes you have to add in an extra egg.
But okay, so let's go through that again. Okay. If you're going to use coconut flour...
It's 1/3.
It's a third.
It's a third.
Okay.
So the recipe, and it makes 6 rolls like... Actually, it made 7 rolls like that.
Right.
It's 1 1/4 cups almond flour.
Yes.
Now, something I'm sure you've never heard of. 5 tablespoons ground psyllium husk powder.
I've heard of that.
Okay, so psyllium husk, for those who don't know, is a type of a powder. You should get the husk powder one. Don't get the husk that looks like bran.
Yes.
Get we are powder. Using totally gluten-free. And what makes things rise and stick is the gluten. So you use the psyllium husk as the gluten substitute.
Okay.
2 teaspoons baking powder.
Right.
1 teaspoon salt. They say sea salt. I use ordinary Himalayan salt.
Right.
2 teaspoons apple cider vinegar.
Right.
1 cup boiling water.
Right.
3 egg whites. Sorry.
Okay.
And 2 tablespoons sesame seeds, if you want to put on the top. Okay. You can use sesame seeds. You can use poppy seeds. You can even plain. You can even put salt on, or salt and garlic to make it herby type, whatever.
Yes.
Okay. So you first put your oven onto 175 degrees.
Right.
You mix the dry ingredients in a bowl.
Right.
By the way, most recipes with banting or low carb is very simple. You throw everything into a bowl, you stir it up with a spoon, and you throw it into the pan, and that's it.
Yeah.
Very easy. So you bring the water to a boil, and you add it, the vinegar, and the egg whites to the bowl.
Do you have to beat the egg whites?
No. But they say beat it with a hand. Here's a fun time that you do it. A hand mixer. I actually use my stick blender. But I have made it without blending, and I just stir it. But beat it with a hand mixer for about 30 seconds, and you don't overmix it. Just mix it for about 30 seconds. And then you moisten your hands, and you break it into little balls to make the dough. Or you can actually make it into hot dog shapes if you want. Right. You place it on a greased baking sheet.
And are they quite sticky-ish? Like, you know, when I make gluten-free bread for my son, and it's sort of like you have to put it into a mold. I don't know.
No, these you don't.
These aren't sticky-ish. These, like, are almost like regular bread dough. Okay. And then you bake it
for 50 minutes, 50 to 60 minutes, and you'll hear, just tap it to hear a hollow sound. And then you...
Even if you're making them small, it must still be 50 to 60 minutes.
I bake those for about 55 minutes.
Okay.
Right.
Well, that's terrific. Okay, we're going to an ad break, and then we're going to thank you, and then I will post this on Facebook, and we'll come back for another recipe.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Welcome back to the Cooking Corner. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's wife, and I am absolutely blown away by this Banting diet. This is amazing. Natalie Joel, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for sharing recipes with us. I can't wait to get home. I'm going to make this. I've got most of, you know, the stuff, because as I say, my son is a celiac, so we make quite a bit of gluten-free things, and you said that you were going to share a recipe for fettuccine Alfredo.
Yeah,
now, how does that work with the pasta?
Okay.
It's a special pasta.
So the thing is that when I've made things with so-called Banting pasta, people said to me, but you said you don't eat noodles, you don't eat pasta. I said, well, it's not. They don't know. And also, a really nice thing you can substitute for when you're making a meal, if you haven't got time to do this, or it's parif, you can buy these baby marrow noodles.
Yes.
And when you cook those and you put things on top of it, people, in their minds, that's, and you've got to tell them if they're going to make a brocha, that it's not mzoinas.
Yes.
But otherwise, they don't know that it's not pasta. Okay, so here,
yes,
the pasta is 2 eggs,
yes,
a pinch of salt,
yeah,
1/8 teaspoon black pepper, 30 grams cream cheese, and a pinch of garlic powder.
30 grams cream cheese. Garlic powder. Okay.
You'll find that cheese is used a lot as substitutes for
the cream cheese
for baking,
it must be full cream.
Everything is full cream. The lower the fat, the higher the sugar that's been added.
Okay.
So this is a full cream way of eating.
Okay.
Full fat, everything.
Right.
Okay. And for the sauce, it's 30 grams mascarpone cheese. If you haven't got that, you can use regular cream cheese.
Yes.
1 tablespoon grated mozzarella or cheddar cheese, and 1 tablespoon butter. For the pasta, you blend the eggs, cheese, salt, garlic powder. Oh, did I say garlic powder?
Yes, you said garlic
pepper
powder.
In a blender.
Yeah.
Pour into a butter greased 8x8 pan.
Right.
Bake at 160 for 8 minutes until just set. So it becomes like a thin layer.
Yes.
Then you remove and you let cool for 5 minutes, and then using a spatula, you take it off there. If you got those plastics, I think it's silk pan, what they call those?
Oh, yes, those.
They're fantastic.
Silk.
They're wonderful. Those plastic layers. I use those a lot for baking, and they peel off so easily for when you're baking. So you cut it into 2 1/8 inch of thick slices,
right,
and you roll them up. And then that's the pasta.
Okay.
And then for the sauce, you combine all the cheeses and butter in a bowl.
Yes.
And you microwave on high for 30 seconds. If you don't like microwaving, or you don't have a microwave, you just make a double boiler and you melt it on top.
Right.
And then you stir it, and then you do the same thing again, and you whisk until smooth. It may take a minute because the sauce will have separated, so keep whisking and it will come together again.
Right.
So you add the pasta to the hot sauce and you toss gently, and you serve straight away with black pepper ground if you want.
Right.
And that is it, and it is in, and these are all like for one serving. That is so, so, so delicious.
And it's one serving. Now, what happens if we want to add mushrooms? Are mushrooms on the green,
mushrooms
red,
are on
yellow?
The green list, yes. Above the ground. So the only thing really not on the green list is butternut. That's above the ground. Everything else is virtually on the list.
Okay. So in other words, person who wants to start this diet, let's say, right, they've listened to the radio, they're very excited. What's the first thing that they must do? They must download off the internet that list of what you can and can't eat.
Yes.
Okay, and all the herbs and spices and everything that you can use. And, I mean, parsley and regular
parsley
herbs.
Parsley has got more iron than virtually anything else.
Really?
Which I learned from Sally Ann in the last couple of weeks. Yeah.
I thought spinach had.
Interesting, hey?
Very interesting.
Creed.
Yeah. Well, you know, this has been the most wonderful program, and I think that we actually need to carry on with this at a later stage. We can do part two of the Banting way. So, Thank you for bringing all these lovely samples. Thank you for sharing recipes with us. It's been wonderful chatting to you, Natalie, and please God, more success in the coffee shop and carry on drinking coffee, everybody.
Yes, keep going.
And I'm sure you'll still be making some banting things for the shop.
There's that lovely lady who works there, Michelle, and she's very involved, and she's very, very strict. I must just tell you one thing I have learned before we go.
Yes.
I can understand now why you need a hechsha on food, because I've been to places and they say this is banting, and I say, but how did you make that salad? Oh, we put in mayonnaise. I said, but did you use banting mayonnaise, for example? And I said,
yes.
No, I use ordinary. And I thought, I can't trust that. They say that's banting, and it's not. So it's the same thing with the shop.
Yes.
If you're under the Beth Din, then you can know that everything there, because they come and they do surprise inspections all the time, which is great, because then you as a customer know that everything in that shop.
Sure.
Is kosher. So that's enforced in my head how important it is, because there's no banting mashgiach.
Right.
So you're your own. If you don't know what you're doing, you can go and buy stuff that's wrong.
One quick thing. Can you use coconut milk instead of regular milk?
A lot. Coconut milk, coconut cream is very heavily used.
Really? Okay, because we need that for a pair of dishes to make sauces.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've got to wrap up, and I'm sure I'll be talking and chatting to you again shortly. It was a wonderful show and wonderful program. Thank you so much for joining us, Natalie.
Thank you.
And remember, it's the eat and meet that makes the show complete.